All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 9b, demons from the underworld. I know some of you may not have seen it yet, but my wife Nicole and I did a brainstorming session on this fifth trumpet, and we discovered that there are some strange demonic creatures that live there. And we also found out that when the fifth trumpet blows, many of these things are let loose upon the earth, either in a physical dimension or in the spiritual dimension. We're going to kind of talk about those things today. This chapter, Revelation 9, has been probably one of the most difficult chapters in the entire Bible for Bible students and scholars alike to understand. We're gonna attempt to make some sense out of it. I think it's not that complex if we just let God's word speak for itself and interpret itself. So anyways, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom and understanding in this ninth chapter of Revelation. Help us understand all these different events that are coming upon the earth so that we can be mentally prepared and ready to do your work without any surprises, unexpected surprises, I guess. We just love you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, and let's just start reading. And the fifth angel sounded. The fifth trumpet is blowing. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, let's look at this star falling from heaven. It appears as though this is a person, an angel of some sort, that's described as being like a star falling from heaven. You know, and I think this is interpreted by Christ himself. So anyways, he's given this key, and it's to some bottomless pit. In the Greek, this is the word abusos, and we may look at this word in a little bit, but let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and see what Christ says concerning this falling star. 10, verse 17, and the 70 disciples, apostles, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That is fascinating. You know, this is one of those verses that just sticks in your mind when you're doing spiritual warfare. That as freaky as these demons try to make people, as much as these demons like to put fear into people, I tell you what, when a Christian is around them, oh yeah, you know there's something weird going on. And you know there's something dark. But we don't get scared by them because we have power over them. And they know it. And they are the ones that actually fear. If you've really been around evil spirits, you know, or people possessed with evil spirits, man, I tell you what, they get really uncomfortable when they're around a child of God, somebody who believes in Jesus Christ. So that's what the disciples, hey, they were joyful. They're saying, Lord, even these demons have to obey us through thy name. I want you to know that. I want you to keep that in mind, because what we're talking about in Revelation chapter 9 is going to be a huge influx of demonic activity. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said, Jesus said unto them, I beheld, now he's looking out into the future, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, what does a shooting star look like? This is, I guess I could say this is my supposition or my opinion. I think this is the same description of Revelation chapter 9, where a star falls from heaven unto the earth. A star looks like a flash of lightning at night, so oftentimes. A shooting star, a falling star. And even if one hits, like a little meteor or something hits, there's an explosion. There's an explosion. And anyways, explosion like lightning or like thunder coming from lightning. Verse 19, behold, I give you power. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Think about that for a second. What Christ is talking about here is in the future, there's going to be this influx of demonic activity. And the disciples dealt with it back then. But Christ is saying, hey, I look forward to the future and I see Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then what happens? We see serpents and scorpions mentioned. And you know what's interesting is when you look at the fifth and sixth trumpet of Revelation, the fifth trumpet we see primarily scorpions, locusts with scorpion stingers. We're going to read about it. I know if you haven't read that chapter and you're wondering what I'm talking about, hey, we're going to read it today. But in the sixth trumpet, the object of that plague is caused by things described as looking like serpents or having serpents' tails. Fascinating on how God's word interprets itself, isn't it? So, in other words, these serpents and scorpions, Christ is likening them to demons. Demons from the underworld. So, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And we're going to find that out too. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but in Revelation, in this fifth trumpet, there are going to be these demonic locusts will come out of the pit or the abusos, and they will only be able to hurt those men and women. When you see the word men used in the Bible, it's not gender specific. It's mankind, men and women. But anyways, they're able to hurt everyone that does not have the seal of God in their forehead. And we found out when that happened, the sealing happened back in Revelation chapter 7. And we went into that. We're not going to go into that today, but that lets you know that that seal of God is what protects you. So Christ said, hey, I gave you power over all of them and all these demonics, and they can't touch you. They have to obey you when you command them. Verse 20 of Luke chapter 10, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. So there we go. The whole topic, scorpions and serpents, Christ is likening them, equating them to these evil spirits, these demonics. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't rejoice that you have this power, that you can command a demon to come out of a person, or that you can command a demon to stay out of your life, to stay out of your family. That is an amazing, awesome power that we have, but the most important thing to rejoice about is not the power we have, but that our names are written in heaven. That's what we should be happy about. So anyways, why did we go to Luke chapter 10? To document that Christ was foretelling, I truly believe Christ was foretelling of the exact same event in Revelation chapter 9, of the fifth and sixth trumpet, of these scorpions and the serpents. Also, I want to point something out to you. Many of you are familiar with our Christian Overcomers logo here. There's a reason we have this here. And as we just read in Luke chapter 10, Christ said that he gave us power to tread on serpents and on scorpions. So this is why we have a foot crushing the head of the serpent, along with, of course, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God said that he would put enmity, a warfare between the woman's seed, Christ and Christians and the remnant of Israel, against the serpent seed. That means Satan, his children, and the Antichrist. So that this is an important symbol. That's why we have it there, and that's why you see it all the time. This, in a sense, this sums up our whole purpose. Our ministry's whole purpose is to teach people how to overcome, how to conquer the serpent. And of course, we're not teaching them. We're letting Christ's word teach them. And it's, how is that done? Line upon line. As from Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 28. This is really the breakdown of our ministry. As you can see now, and I'm going to go to the website here to show this to you. Here we go. Let me go here to the main page. So we've basically broken down our ministry. Here's our homepage of our website. If you want to catch our latest YouTube Bible studies, these are the verse-by-verse ones like you're seeing today. You can just click here and it'll go right to YouTube if this isn't updated yet. YouTube will always be updated. Wednesdays and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Time. And also, here's that study I was talking about, Revelation 9a, Candlelight Bible Study with my wife, Nicole. Where we brainstorm the meaning of the fifth trumpet. But here's what I wanted to show you. We have a category here on our website, all of our latest videos titled under the heading here a little, there a little. These are going to be different current events messages, biblical discussions with other people. We'll answer your questions. If you have a question, like here's one down here, why did Moses make a bronze snake? And this was just a question I took from a listener of ours. And we went through a little mini study and answered it. They're really short. I don't know if it was 10 minutes long or something like that. So anyways, basically what you'll see under here little, there little is just a little bit of everything. And I forgot to finish that Isaiah 28. God says that his word should be taught line upon line, precept upon precept, chapter upon chapter, line upon line, and here a little, there a little. So that's kind of how we've structured our ministry, if you're kind of wondering what this here a little, there a little is. It's from Isaiah 28. And our line-by-line studies. Currently, right now, we are in the book of Revelation. And you can see here, these are listed right under here. So you can go right here. And then over here, we added children's Bible studies. This is our most current message right here is lesson number one in the book of Revelation. We're going to try to do one of those a week. And so that is our plan. And down here, of course, if you don't get our email updates, we send a one or two of these out a week with our new studies. Embedded there in any other kind of update that we might have. And down here is where you can become a member and gain access to countless hours of downloadable audio podcasts. These audio podcasts are primarily our line-by-line studies. And what's nice about those is you can take those and you can listen to them in your car, on your way to work, whenever, if you have a slow YouTube connection and you want to get to the study and you want to get it fast or you want to download it and save it to your computer, members can do that there. And you just click on the Join Now tab. Anyways, so there it is. That's the breakdown. Here a little, there a little, line by line, and children's Bible studies. That is the structure of our ministry going forward from here. And so let's go back to our slides here. And we'll talk about this here. Okay, there again, there's our logo. Conquering the serpent. All right, verse 2 of Revelation 9. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. This is showing us that, okay, this bottomless pit is probably an interdimensional thing. It is, again, like I said, it was the word abusos. And we'll get into the details of that in a little bit. We're going to probably look up the meaning of that word. Here we go. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. Now check this out. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I'm going to go backwards. I'm just going to use my pointer here. So we see here, it says, out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power. What kind of power? Well, this is defined for us here. The kind of power they have is the same power as what scorpions of the earth have. You know, a lot of people, when they're trying to decipher God's word, they read a lot into it. Hey, this is what God says. So if we want to know what kind of plague this is, all we have to do is figure out how or what kind of power do earthly scorpions have. And then we can figure this out. Notice it didn't say they had power as of heavenly scorpions or anything like that. It says earthly scorpions. So we know we're dealing with some kind of a plague here, much like the plagues of Egypt. When Moses and Aaron brought them upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So let us go to, I'm going to go back to our website here, because we did a, let me see if I can. Hopefully I didn't close out of it. Okay, there we go. We did a series of studies, written studies, on the fifth trumpet. As you can see here, we did one on the bottomless pit. I'm going to zoom in a little bit here for you so you can read these things a little bit better. Okay, so we did one on the bottomless pit, demons from the abyss, infernal locusts of Revelation 9, scorpions and serpents in the Bible. And those are some written ones we did. If you want to get a little bit more detail, go to our website. Just go to this search bar up here and type in, torment of a scorpion. And then go ahead and press search, and then you'll find that stuff. Or you can type in Revelation 9, whatever you want to search, but that will get you right here. Anyways, I'm going to scroll down, and we're going to talk about the effects of a literal scorpion sting, because that is what was pointed out to us. They said that these locusts that come out of this abyss, these infernal locusts, demonic locusts, things that look like locusts anyways, they have this kind of power. So I got this, it was from medscape.com, some of these different effects. But anyways, here it is. Out of 1,500 scorpion species, I'll highlight this for you, 50 are dangerous to humans. Scorpion stings cause a wide range of conditions, from severe local skin reactions to neurologic, that's very interesting there, respiratory and cardiovascular collapse. And that's from Scorpion and Envenomation, August 29th, 2011. But anyways, in addition to those symptoms, which I thought one of them was really neat, a neurologic. Because remember, we're talking about different, these are some kind of a demonic locus that have, that's why God specifies, he says they have power like the scorpions of the earth have power, because these things are not from earth. Here we go. So if we want to know what kind of things the scorpions can do, if you get stung by it, look at the little stinger there. Get a little picture there, the tip of a scorpion sting. Okay, they cause rapid breathing, high blood pressure, increased heart rate, these are just some of the symptoms, muscle twitching, weakness, trouble breathing, nausea, vomiting, and even severe convulsions. So all these things here are what we will, at least at some of them, depending on what kind of scorpion we're talking about here, this is the physical reaction. These people will be receiving those without the seal of God in their foreheads. And I feel this is very similar. Basically, I think what you're describing here is something very similar to somebody who is being tormented by demonic possession. By demonic possession. And anyways, there's a little picture there. Demonic torments. Here's a depiction of a man being tormented by demons. Okay? They love making people suffer. They love making people suffer. I got a little thing here. And from Mark chapter 5, verse 5, there was this one guy that was possessed with legion of demons. And it says that he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And that's Mark 5, verse 5. And, he wanted to get rid of these things. They were hurting him. They were tormenting him. And why did I bring that up? Because this is one case where that word torment was used in that, I think it's in that verse. Actually, let me go to the word torment here. This is from the Blue Letter Bible. And I'll make this a little bit bigger here for you. Let's just listen to the pronunciation.
Strong's G, 928. Bassanizo. Bassanizo.
All right. That's how you say that word. And here are your definitions. To test metals, that's one of the by touchstone. Here's an interesting one. To question by applying torture. To torture. Now here's probably the best definition that fits what we're talking about here. To vex with grievous pains of body or mind. To torment. To be harassed or distressed, and then and so on. But here's the definition here again. To question by applying torture. To torment the body and the mind. But if you go down here, you should see where this word is used. And here it is. Here's one case where some demons were not wanting to be tormented themselves. They asked Christ not to torment them before their time. Let's talk a little bit about this abyss. This is another article we wrote a while back when Madonna did a big demonic summons during the Super Bowl, and most unsuspecting people had no idea what was going on. Anyways, this was a couple years ago. But what I wanted to do is go to this section where I talked a little bit about the abyss. What is the abyss? What is this bottomless pit that this falling star had a key to? What's inside of it? Well, we find this Greek word. Again, I'm going to zoom in here for you so you can see. A little bit more detail. Okay, the Greek word for abyss is abusos, and is translated the deep in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, and Romans 10, verse 7, and as bottomless pit in, Revelation 9, 1, 9, 2, 9, 11. Now check this out, 11, 17, 17, 8, 20, verse 1, and 20, verse 3. It is used only 9 times in the New Testament. And when it is used, we are not really given much detail about it, other than it is considered to be the abode of demons. The abode of demons. So what I'm saying here is whenever this word abusos is used, I believe it's every single time it's used, at least most of the time, it refers to the home of the demons. The home of different fallen ones. And I'm going to show you something interesting. We're going to get to it in a later chapter, but there's something else that comes out of this bottomless pit. And it is the one of the beasts of Revelation chapter 13. Anyways, in Revelation 11, verse 7, and when they have finished their testimony, speaking of the two witnesses, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them, overcome the two witnesses. So something, some demonic force, demonic entity comes out of the abyss and kills the two witnesses. And kills the two witnesses. And then in Revelation 17, verse 8, it says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was, and okay, so on and so forth. So we see that this that there is a beast that comes out of the abyss, a demonic person, entity, creature. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. Okay, and that's where Satan was actually put during, he will be put during the millennium. And I'll just read the verse here, Revelation 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Okay, so this abyss is a prison. It's a prison for Satan in the future. And right now, it's a prison for demonics, evil angels, possibly. I think if you go to the book of Jude, it may refer to evil angels being in here. So this is not a good place. So what comes out of this abyss at the fifth trumpet is basically going to bring hell on earth. I'm speaking, when I say hell, I'm talking a demonic influx such as never been seen before. You know, we talk about legion. That, remember, there was a man that was possessed with legion? Here, we're talking about legions. And we're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. I think I even have it down here. We are legion. Okay, and this, and I went into that here. And the numbers. Anyways, if you read those articles, I'm gonna go check this out here. I'm gonna read this to you here. It says, back to the demon telling Christ that they were legion. I'll highlight it here for you. Back to the demon telling Christ that they were legion. Did you know that a Roman legion consisted of about 6,000 infantrymen along with a cavalry contingent? Interesting number, isn't it? It reminds of the number of the beast. For it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. From Revelation 13, verse 18, some even speculate that the underworld has 60 princes, each commanding 6,666 legions, made up of 6,666 demons. That, okay, so Rome had only 25 to 35 legions of 6,000, equaling somewhere between 150,000 and 210,000 foot soldiers. But if these numbers are true concerning the demons, they have about 44.5 million foot soldiers. That's a lot of demons to be let out at the sounding of the fifth trumpet. Woe unto those who do not have the gospel armor on for protection. Or you could say the seal. Woe unto those who do not have the seal of God. And I was going to show some pictures, because when we see these locusts coming out of the abyss, we're like, well, actually, I better read the verses describing them. Then we'll come back and we'll take a look at something here. Okay, let's go back to our verses. Okay, Revelation 9, verse 4. And it was commanded them, these locusts that come out of the abyss, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, neither any green thing, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You know, this is, I have a lot of friends that believe this. They say that the first four trumpets were all spiritual things, and that the trees and the grass that was being burned up by the fire coming from heaven was men being plagued with deception. But there's one problem with that. We're still moving on into this. We're still the same subject here. And if we were to say that the trees and grass equal men in the first four trumpets, then we'd have to say that about the fifth trumpet as well. Then we'd have to say that, okay, so God's saying, hurt not the grass of the earth. Okay, oops, let me go back there. Hurt not the grass of the earth. So is God telling these demonic locusts-like creatures not to hurt men because they're grass, and neither any tree because they are men, but only those men which have not the seal of God? See how that doesn't make any sense? This is why I firmly believe that the first four trumpets are physical catastrophes that will happen upon earth, similar to Egypt, the plagues that happened in Egypt, but on a much grander scale. It says a third of the world. That's huge. So there is a serious problem with a spiritual or a allegorical interpretation of the first four trumpets of Revelation. And hear me talk about it often. It's because I got a lot of good friends that believe that. And hey, I'm trying to convince them that what we're going to see is going to be some amazing things, and it's going to be real things. Not that there's anything wrong with spiritual interpretations of things. We just have to know when to do that. And here, these locusts are commanded not to hurt any green thing, neither any tree. This lets us know that these aren't ordinary locusts. These are demonic locusts. And they know, they are intelligent enough to know who has the seal of God in their foreheads and who doesn't. Man, I tell you what, I would not want to be unprotected during this time. This is a serious plague. And to them it was given, verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. They're going to be tortured. With what? And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, an earthly scorpion, when he striketh a man. This isn't talking about some historical event with the Arabs invading this country and that country and so forth. If you take out the biblical commentaries. There's even some on Blue Letter Bible, I believe, that go into a lot of this stuff. They'll say that they try to apply these things to some historical event that has happened. This is future. It says, or it means what it says. The interpretation is given to us. All we have to do is listen to it. God says that this plague is going to come upon mankind and that they're not going to die from it, but they are going to be tortured for 5 months, and the torture is going to feel like they had gotten stung by an earthly scorpion. It's a punishment. It's a plague. And it's not out of God's character to do stuff like this. He did it in Egypt. He did it with the lice, the flies, the frogs, you name it. This is the way God operates. He has a track record. And why does he do this? Someone tried to make fun of this and say, well, you're just reading too physical. God has to deal with spiritually blind people in a physical manner. He has to try to get their attention. What is the object? We're going to find out when we get to the sixth trumpet, not today, but in our future studies, that the object of these plagues is to get men and women to repent. So what does God do here? He tugs on the flesh body as well as the mind. But what I'm saying is I do not believe this is an allegory of spiritual deception here. This is pain and punishment for not having the seal of God, for being deceived, for not repenting. And it's specific. I'm going to read it again. God defined it for us. What is the torment going to be like? It's going to last for 5 months. My wife in that brainwashing. I hope I'm not brainwashing you, but I can just see some people having, you know, I get people who make hit videos on me, and they're probably going to take that one out of context and say, Ben accidentally slipped up and he said his true intentions was to brainwash people or something like that. Brainstorming session. Anyways, so we talked a little bit about this and how that 5 months had to do with the normal cycle of locusts, how they would come in the dry season and they would eat everything up. And my wife made a good point in that video. You might want to check that out if you hadn't already. But okay, let's go to 9 verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die. In what days? The days of the 5 months. And death shall flee from them. In other words, the pain, the torment, and the anguish is going to be so severe from this demonic influx, this demonic plague, that these people are going to wish that they had, that they could just die. You know, and it's really sad, but, you know, some people that are tormented with demons today. And you have to be careful what you say, because there are weak-minded people out there who hear an idea like this. But some of these people, and don't, oh, I'm gonna say this. Don't you ever, I don't care what state of mind you are in, how much torment you are going through, don't you ever think about taking your own life. God has a plan for us and a purpose. If you're going through troubles, if you're being tormented with demons, you seek help. You pray for Almighty God to rebuke the demons out of you, or find another Christian and get it done. But what I'm pointing out here is I'll say this again. Many people who are possessed with demons, some of them get to the point where they're so tormented, they get so depressed, so whacked out mentally that they seek death. And it's sad, it's common. I don't know what the percentage of suicides is today due to this. I mean, it would be really hard to tell. But I would dare say that this is probably one of the leading causes of suicide is somebody who's being tormented in their mind. And they seek death. But anyways, let's go to verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like, remember, these aren't ordinary locusts. They come from the abyss, the holding place of demons. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. This is really bizarre. This is really bizarre. And we'll talk about it. And they had hair, verse 8, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were the teeth of lions. Okay, this is what John is seeing. This isn't an allegory. This is a physical description of what John sees come out of that abyss. And it is quite disturbing if you didn't have the seal of God, man. I tell you what. Again, I don't know if people will actually see these things. In my opinion, these are not seen. This is just a plague that one day these people will start suffering. They'll call it some widespread pandemic or something, that a flu or something that's causing people this much pain for 5 months, and there's nothing they can do to get out of it. I don't know if each person is tormented for 5 months or if it's, you know, each person 2 weeks or whatever. But anyways, this general plague lasts for 5 months. And it hits those people without the seal of God. And we're going to, oh man, I tell you what, we're getting a little late on time. But I want to go to Psalms 91 and show you the connection here to this prophecy. So I'm going to read this verse again, 9 verse 9, if I hadn't already read it. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Scary. Not for us, though. Verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power. What is this all centered around? It's centered around the sting, the point of their tail. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Just like, remember in Revelation chapter 7, the four angels were holding the four winds. They say, stop, don't hurt the earth or the sea or the trees or the grass or anything till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And it, remember what the word was there again? That they should not hurt. Again, this is the object. This is what's happening during the fifth trumpet. Men are being hurt. Their flesh is feeling pain because God is trying to get their attention. And it lasts 5 months. Verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel. Now check this out. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, Abaddon and Apollyon both mean the destroyer. Personally, I don't think that this is Satan. I think Satan was given the key to the bottomless pit and opened it, but I think the king over them is another demon of a different order, a different realm, just like the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. We fight against principalities and powers in high places. Satan has people that work for him. And this demon from the abyss, his name is Abaddon and an Apollyon. I think he's a different demon than Satan, because Satan's names are given to us later on in the 12th chapter of this book of Revelation. He's called the old serpent. the dragon, the devil, and the accuser, and so on. So there we go. I'm going to read verse 12, then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the description of these demonic locusts. Revelation 9, verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. There are three woes in this book of Revelation. A woe meaning a severe calamity that happens to the people of earth. And what does this verse tell us in addition to that? It tells us that these trumpets are in chronological order of each other. The fifth trumpet is not the same as the sixth trumpet or the same as the seventh trumpet, because the fifth trumpet is now past at this verse 12 of chapter 9. Some people try to blend these all together, and hey, I'm stressing these things because this is important. This is important. Otherwise, I think you get the whole book of Revelation kind of just not gelling together right. Anyways, in our next study, we're still not done with this study. We still got about 10 more minutes. I want to show you some other stuff. But in our next study, we're going to talk about the 5 months and where it fits in to the timeline of the end times. I have a lot of good friends that believe the whole tribulation is squeezed down into this 5 month period. And this verse alone disproves that. The sixth trumpet hasn't even blown yet, and the 5 months are over. Because God says it is. It says one woe is past, finished, done, moving on to the next one. And there are a lot of other reasons why I believe that as well. And I'm gonna make my case for it. I'm going to show you why I believe it the way I believe it. And the reason I'm going to do so is because some people, when they hear me, because I have a lot of listeners that come from other churches, other denominations, and a large segment of them believe that the tribulation is shortened down to this 5 month period. So I feel I should at least show my reasoning behind it, so that when somebody else says something, they say, well, Pastor Ben, he doesn't teach that the tribulation is shortened down to 5 months, like it says in Matthew 24. But it doesn't say that in Matthew 24. It talks about something being shortened. But anyways, we'll get into that in our next study. But I want you to hear it from me, why I believe what I believe. And I want to point out the scriptures showing you why I believe what I believe. And I feel the evidence is just overwhelming. Overwhelming. And anyways, enough on that. Some of you who've never even heard that theory before, you're probably thinking this is a waste of my time. Let's just keep moving. So we're going to get moving now, but we will spend some time on that in our next study. We're not just going to debate that issue, but I want you still, whether you believe that or not, we still need to try to know where those 5 months fit into the timeline of the end times. And we'll make an attempt at that. All right. Let's go to I think it's Psalms chapter 91. Actually, I wanted to show you these demonic a description of some of these demonic locusts. Okay, here's an article I have. It's called Infernal Locusts of Revelation 9. Let me see if this is the one. Excuse me. Okay. There are many people who have depicted demons throughout history. Here's one here. Let's see if I can... Oh, it doesn't even get that much bigger, so... But anyways, people have depicted them as looking like just really goofy-looking things in different dimensions. I'm going to go to this one. Serpents, scorpions and serpents in prophecy. All right, here are some idols here. when you look at different idols and different things in pagan religion, you'll see these things all the time. You'll see serpents somewhere. Here are these demons here, fallen angels, false gods. See the cobra head here around it, around them, and the serpents. Where do you think they got these ideas from? They worship the demons from the underworld. And at one time, probably in Genesis chapter 6, when the fallen angels were here on earth, there may have even, the people on earth may have even seen some of these creatures, these demonics, if you would. Infernal locusts, if that's what you want to call them. But I thought I had another picture. Okay, here's another one. I got here images of false gods and demons. Okay, and the picture, okay, are oftentimes portrayed as having some... Okay, I already mentioned that. So here we go again. You see the tail, the head of the serpent right here. This is all over the place if you pay attention. And there's a reason why Christ said, I gave you power over serpents and scorpions. And he equated them to spirits, evil spirits in Luke chapter 10. And anyways, let us go to Psalms chapter 91, and we'll read really quick here. Keep in mind, I believe this prophecy looks forward to the time of the fifth and sixth trumpet of Revelation. When they blow, do you need to worry? Are you going to be raptured? No, you're protected with the seal of God. Here it is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Check this out. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Here we go. We're talking about pestilences here, plagues. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Here it is. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day. You're not going to, we have nothing to fear. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Here it is. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. See, there isn't, when Christ said in, I think it's John chapter 16, I've talked about it before, he said, I pray not. He was talking to the Father. I pray not that you take my servants out of the world. I want you to keep them in the world, but protect them while they're in the world. He didn't say that. That does away with the whole pre-tribulation rapture theory altogether. Right there. And so do these verses. We are protected from these plagues, from the wrath of God, from these torments. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. We're going to see people being tormented. When that fifth trumpet blows, we are going to see this. We're going to see our neighbors, our friends, and family members who mock us for studying the Bible. We're going to see them go through these torments. And here it is, because, Psalms 91, verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Here it is. There shall no evil, this is the word calamity, befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Again, the trumpets of Revelation, the vials of Revelation, are, that's what this is talking about. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, remember, this is the verse that Christ, or not Christ, the Antichrist, Satan, twisted against Christ. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here it is. Thou, verse 13 of Psalms 91, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And then he says, because, okay, and so on and so forth. But just like Christ said, you shall tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hey, we're going to go through some very, very peculiar times, troublous times to the world. Again, this is a woe, the fifth trumpet. Smoke coming up out of the pit, and then this demonic influx coming out and inflicting pain and torment upon the peoples of the earth who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. This, God is trying to tell us what a magnificent event this is going to be. Remember back when the death angel killed all of the firstborn of Egypt? That was the 10th plague. Well, this fifth trumpet is very similar to that. Remember that was called the death angel or the destroyer? Well, Abaddon and Apollyon means the destroyer. And it doesn't go out and actually kill the firstborn. It actually torments and makes something that's even worse than dying. Because in the fifth trumpet, these people want to die. They seek death. But it doesn't find them. So, in a sense, not in a sense, I mean, this plague is worse than any plague that ever happened in Egypt. This plague of the fifth trumpet. Hey, in our next study, again, we're going to go over the timeline of the 5 months, and we're going to deal a little bit with timelines of the end times. And after that, then we move forward to the sixth trumpet of Revelation, and we see some other really strange and bizarre things. But if we let God's word interpret itself, things get much simpler. Because if you look at all these events as trying to equate the trees and the grass with something, and these locusts as being Arabs or the Muslims or something like that, man, I tell you what, it just gets to be an endless amount of confusion and interpretations. Let God's word speak for itself. All right, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it, consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.